We've got a very special occasion today. We have a guest with us, Mr. Anthony Neff, in the top right corner. Give us a wave, please, sir. One of our new streamers, in fact. In fact, you can tell us all about yourself before we start doing anything, mate. So the spotlight is yours.
Every
Welcome
detail.
Welcome to the squad.
Every detail. Every yeah. single detail.
All the jokes.
Well, I'm Anthony. I'm pretty new to Planet Destiny. I've done about, five or six streams with you guys now. I play a lot of Trials of Osiris. I've been playing since the beta, obviously Trials since, you know, when it came out. A little bit of my personal life. I'm 24. I got one child. I've been married for 6 years. I have a full-time job. I'm active duty military. I currently live in Florida, and I really like soccer. So a little bit about myself. You can find me at Anthony Neff on Twitter.
Awesome. So
Yo,
awesome,
Florida boys represent. Yeah.
Well, welcome to Planet Destiny.
Yeah, man. Welcome.
We're glad
aboard,
to have you
dude,
on
man.
As another
Absolutely.
Streamer.
Yeah, man.
Good to have you here.
I feel like most people in Florida play Destiny. I just
most
feel like everyone...
in Florida play Destiny?
Everyone's like, Florida.
I'm brand new to Florida. I've been in Florida for maybe 3 weeks now. My job took me to Florida.
If I know anything about Florida, it's filled with really old retired people and people who love to play Destiny.
That's both me. Thank you.
Okay, Anthony, important question. Favorite cereal?
Honey
Here
Bunch of Oats. Cinnamon.
Dude, Honey Bunches of Oats, my man. Put it right
Let's
up there.
Go.
Wow.
Good stuff.
Get the fist bump going.
All right, man. Yeah. He's already part of the crew. He's welcome now.
You'll feel
it. I appreciate it.
Really going in with the heavy-hitting questions right at the top.
Yeah, cut him some slack. He's new. Don't just go right at him. Oh, gosh.
We're on episode 96. We have to start hitting hard.
Okay. All right.
No more games. That's it.
I want to ask the chat, just very quickly, how are you liking the pyramid, the PD pyramid thing going on here? It's a happy accident.
Really good.
It's officially been labeled the PD food pyramid.
Oh, right. The food chain.
Yes.
And I'm at the bottom. What am I? Am I like the hors d'oeuvre, like the starter, the side salad or something? Okay.
No, the
food pyramid would make you like the junk food. You're the eat.
Yeah, you're the sugars, the fatty acids. Yeah.
I like how Story sees the food pyramid as like a five-course meal.
Yeah.
You gotta have this.
And the salad.
Yeah. Oh, every meal, yeah.
It's upside down. Maybe the food pyramid's different in this country. I don't know. I mean, he didn't have what we grew up with.
That's true. That's true.
It is upside down.
I mean, it changes so often, so you never know, man.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think that there's a lot to talk about tonight, yeah?
There is.
Yes.
Been a busy week in Destiny, yeah.
Definitely a busy week in Destiny. Did anybody catch the 4v4 tournament that we had last night?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Pretty much
really awesome.
Yeah,
anyone listening
last
to this podcast...
Night, you mean the last 24 hours?
Yeah, it was kind of a marathon
it took.
Sort of thing. We're working on making that more condensed in the future for any of you who thought it
right,
was kind
right.
of... going on for maybe a bit too long, but for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, there was a 4v4 tournament last night that was streamed on a whole bunch of channels, including Planet Destiny, and it was organized by PD, Far Cognitions, and Last Rites, I believe.
Yeah.
Really awesome tournament. Such good games.
I mean, just watching it, I was getting sweaty.
Sweaty.
Was really sweaty.
Yeah. See, I thought I was really good at PvP, and then I look at some of these guys play, and I'm like, man, I'm not on your level, man.
Yeah.
Just going to put this away.
It was interesting to see the 4v4 set up. It's been very popular ever since Rise of Iron and Private Matches came out. I think it's really just for the fact that it's different.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's arguments about which is more competitive. Is it threes? Is the competitive? Is it fours? And there's arguments for both sides. But it's something different and it's something fresh. And it's the first real major 4v4, which is pretty cool. And I thought it was pretty fun. I do end up liking a lot of aspects of 4v4. Not every single aspect, but there's definitely some merit to it. So I think I'd be down to see 3v3, 4v4s, any variety of tournaments.
Yeah.
I have no problem seeing all of that.
Yeah.
The crazy thing there is that Bones just said something was popular because it was different, which is just insane.
It's just not true for anything else.
Something completely different in the community right now.
I think it was really fun to watch. I think I personally enjoy 3v3 sweaties a little bit more than 4v4. Sometimes I feel like 4v4 can get a little cluttered,
yeah,
a little chaotic, but it really was fun to watch.
Threes is more intense. It's like, I don't know.
I'm a hardcore Halo player, right?
Nice.
I grew up on Halo, Halo 2, Halo 3, and Excellent. Halo Reach. And that's what I played. And 50s, you know, across the board, and Team Slayer. So I love the 4v4. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, oh, yeah.
I was like, that's so much more familiar to me.
There's definitely a lot more team shotting going on.
Yeah.
I feel like in 3v3s, there's a lot of opportunity to go in and push a 1v1 situation. But in 4s, it's all about like map positioning, and you get the good angles, and your team shotting. Really a lot of fun.
Much more emphasis on the team play and team rotations and stuff on 4s, isn't it?
Yeah, you know? By a lot.
Yeah, but I find 3s a lot more intense to watch. I don't know. I tend to watch it a bit harder when I'm watching 4s. Like, just from a viewer's perspective, watching 4s, it is, as you say, it's cluttered. It's, like, massively chaotic. It's super fast-paced. And it really does shine a spotlight on just how, you know, fast-paced Destiny PvP is. Even with 4 players, I mean, like, when we're playing things like Iron Banner and 6s and general Crucible, I mean, that really is, like... Sometimes it's way too much action, you know.
I think a huge side of that from the viewer perspective is that we can only see this from a first-person perspective when we're literally watching it. Yeah. And if we had a theater mode or we had some sort of stationary camera where you saw, wow, here's where all of this action was, right on B, where you saw, you know, 6 deaths right in a row, that'd be really cool. But because we don't... know what's going on in 4s because we're only looking at like what Luminosity sees.
Yeah.
I think it can be a little tough to follow, you know, what's really shifting the game here. Was it that triple I just saw on the corner of the screen, or was it something that happened in front of me? So the reason you get it right in front of you all the time.
Spectator mode would be great. You know?
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, you know,
because there's so much more going on than what you could ever see from just one player's point of view. So many other things going on behind the curtain of what you can see from that one player.
Yeah. That being said, we're getting better at switching perspectives and actually being able to demonstrate what it looks from all sides, which is like cool and exciting as someone
that
who
just,
likes
that just highlights, you know, how much you know, Destiny hasn't added into its game. You know, for instance, Halo, going back to Halo, another Bungie game, is they had all those features, you know, 5-6 years ago, and they haven't implemented them. Even though it's a custom lobby, not a custom match, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
kind
absolutely.
Of, yeah. And I mean, that's something that we've been discussing really since Destiny came out. Bungie, they know how well Forge mode and stuff like that, creative options like that, worked in the Halo franchise, especially in Halo 3. And we've certainly moved forward with the ability to host custom lobbies, as Anthony says, and our own ability to host tournaments now. And I'd like to see going forward, I would love for us to be able to get some sort of spectator mode, because you guys are absolutely right. Destiny can be such a busy game. It's got so much going on with positioning, with cooldowns, and when you have a 4v4 game mode like that, there's a few moments where there's just so much going on, you can't really get a real appreciation for it when you're just viewing it through first person.
Yeah.
Being able to have something like a sky cam where you could just watch the entire map or an entire section would be beautiful, and hopefully as we move forward in Destiny, maybe even Destiny 2, we get something like that.
The learning potential from that as well, because you'd really be able to see how teams are positioning themselves and how they're performing the rotations and stuff, which is something that you kind of does get obscured when you're watching from first person perspective. So yes, Bungie, please, spectator mode.
You need that that Cloud Koopa from Super Mario 64. You know, he follows Mario around with the camera on Lakitu, the fishing pole. You need that guy.
Yes.
I can see this as an actual job for a ghost for PvP, like
a real job
for the ghosts.
I mean, that's what the Oracle was. I mean,
The monitors things, right? Or is that what they were called? Yeah. That's how you.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hard to do though, from like, because
oh yeah, no, it's,
you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
I mean,
no,
I had no idea how far Cup was going to do it. You know, like,
yeah,
and then I mean, it was handled quite well from like the perspective of actual, you know, viewing, like switching between the two teams and stuff like that. But he's basically taking the feed from two streams, so there's going to be a little delay here and there. So I was quite like interested to see how that could be done. I mean, of course, if it was all being streamed directly from one machine, then you could set up scenes and like quickly pan between, you know, each different player or, you know, different team perspectives and stuff. But yeah, it's quite a confusing thing to try and organize. Oh, yeah.
That's definitely a full-time job for somebody a lot smarter than I am.
Oh, and me. Yeah, I think I'd have an aneurysm from even attempting to think about that, let alone doing it, you know.
Well, yeah. Two things to mention on the tournament note. One is that the tournament that we just had this weekend was PlayStation 4 only, yeah. And there is a upcoming Xbox One Destiny
Indeed,
tournament.
There is.
Again, woo! For fours. So keep your eyes peeled for that. That one's going to be totally lit. And after that tournament is done, we're probably going to have more down the pipe. We're not sure when. But I think there's a poll right now on FarCognition's Twitter asking the people what they would want the next tournament to be, either threes or fours.
It's kind of neck and neck at the moment as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Last time
it's
I looked,
very
at it.
Close between fours and skirmish threes. Yeah. No. So go on Twitter, find Far Cognitions, cast your vote, and keep your eyes peeled for that Xbox One tourney. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, huge congrats to Bomb Squad Kittens for an amazing run, and the I Am Boys for a very close runner-up as well. That. I did as
it
well.
Got close,
I
mean, there.
Yeah, it was very close, and. I think that the I think for next time, I think it was a big learning curve for everybody involved, and I think for next time there probably will be some separation, so the teams don't have to stay up like all day and all night to try and get their, you know, their competings done and stuff, because I think everyone was pretty burned out. Like I was watching the I Am Boys play in a way that they wouldn't have played if they'd have had like a night's sleep on them as well, like
Rest assured, we are talking about mixing that up for the upcoming Xbox One tournament. So
yeah, I mean, it's a learning experience. I still, that's not like a negative. I still cannot believe the amount of work that was done, and it was done very, very well. There was just that glaring oversight is pretty much the only criticism that can be successfully, you know, made. And that still, the first ever tournament, I think everything went fantastically, and I'm hoping that it's really wet the whistle for a lot more to come, because
we've
it was
nowhere to go but up.
Yeah, man. That's mean, it was really exciting, and I was really hyped for it. I think there was a lot of people. We had loads of viewers on PD as well, a lot more than we usually get. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it was really, really awesome, and I can't wait for the next one.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got. What have we got next?
You know, we were talking about how we'd like to see some sort of spectator mode implemented, just so we can get an easier way of seeing different angles, different gameplays. Looks like Bungie's thinking the same thing. This week at Bungie, they're talking a little bit about how they're going to be integrating their API with Twitch features, so that you can more easily find people who are playing Destiny and watch them. Looks like directly from Bungie.
I
thought that was interesting.
Such a cool thing that they're coming up with.
Yeah,
if you haven't heard about this, go check out the recent This Week at Bungie. They have a whole kind of thing laid out on it. Basically, they're working together with Twitch, and now if you go to the Bungie website, I think sometime within the next week, you can go through and find Destiny streamers based on whatever criteria you're looking for. You can click on this drop down of who's streaming the raid right now, who's streaming trials, who's doing Iron Banner, and it just looks so freaking cool the way they have it laid out.
On top of that too, like for instance, if you are playing a PvP type mode or even a PvE type mode, you can pull up all the stats, the medals, the types of weapons, the perks they have on those weapons, the exact anything yep. they have about their build directly because it's, you know, it's so integrated into the API now.
So that's
well.
A wonderful thing. How many questions? I mean, it's got to be the most popular question many. In a Twitch thing. What weapon? What perk?
What gun is that?
What you know,
it's
exclamation
the most
primary.
Popular you know. Destiny streamers, they have like Nightbot or Deepbot yep. or whatever. They have them pre-programmed to be like, this is my loadout, et cetera, et cetera. This is the gun I have. Here are the yep. perks, because people ask all the time. Yeah. And with this new feature, you don't have to ask. If you're just watching through the Bungie site that's connected to Twitch, just click them open and you can see, oh,
it's
there's
right
the weapon
there.
They're using.
You
there's
can
the
see
perks.
Their loadout.
There's yeah. everything. I think that's such a great feature.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And there's something about an emblem. As a streamer, you can earn a new
yes.
emblem.
Correct.
Bungie is officially giving out streamer perks.
Yes.
yeah.
Aside from the perks we already get, though.
Yeah,
we yeah, yeah. We have extra help. We have extra help. Yeah.
Pray tell.
You're not supposed to talk about this.
Pray tell. What are the requirements for to I, earn this
it's
emblem?
What, 77 hours of
you
stream?
Have to stream.
Well, 77 hours. It says non-consecutive. Does that mean I won't get it if I do 77 consecutive?
Yeah, I was going to say death by streaming, count. You know, malnutrition yeah. via streaming. It's yeah. not 77 hours consecutive. It is, of course, yeah. accrued 77
yes.
hours.
Correct.
Yes.
And Deej has
for
tweeted out that he doesn't want anyone burning the candle at both ends. Going for the world's first of this emblem, he's pleaded with the community. Please,
that'll
it's gonna, happen.
I know, like Deej is like, please get your bed rest, go outside, eat a good meal. Please don't be the world's first person
no.
to get the 77.
I will subsist on 77 hours
trying to get emblem
of destiny. Yeah.
As long as he succeeds, it's a death worth. No, you know what? I'm not even going to say that. You know what's going to happen.
I know.
We're going to see how many people are just going to be streaming random things, you know, in the background to get that consecutive yes. 77
hours. 77
hours
of me dancing
in the
tower.
Hit the broadcast button and then go to bed.
Yeah,
exactly. The only thing that I, you know, and this hasn't gone live yet, so you can't really complain too much yet. Yeah. But there's a plethora of YouTube gaming streamers on for Destiny yeah. as well, and I would love to see them at least integrate something using the YouTube platform. But
as somebody who primarily uses YouTube, I agree with that.
Same
that
here.
Thought. Yeah,
yeah. I'm a YouTube streamer. That's right. That's where I have yeah. my following. That's where I stream
yeah.
most of the
yeah.
time. And I'm not going to see those features, but you know it. We can't complain yet. It hasn't even gone live. I don't get ahead of myself.
That's a good point to like drive home is you cannot earn that emblem yet. It's not live.
Yes.
I think is it next week or some point in the near future it's going to be.
I think it's sometime in the near future.
Yes.
Well, that's 60 yeah. hours wasted so far this weekend. Jeez.
Yeah. Rip.
God.
Yeah, the update says these features will be activated soon. Yeah. So
I ruptured my kidney for no reason. What the hell, Bungie?
Oh God!
It looks like I'm drinking wine, guys. This is not wine. It's not piss. This is a vitamin drink. You know, I'm just trying to liven myself up. But it doesn't look like wine.
Look how cute it is. He says vitamins, vitamins,
vitamins, vitamins.
Potato, potato, aluminum.
Your charming
potato drink.
Aluminium, aluminum,
aluminium,
aluminium.
I will forever call it that now. Can you hand me the aluminium?
How often are you asking for aluminum?
Never.
Yeah. All the time,
aluminum sounds like some kind of mythical creature that lives on the moon or something like that. It's like
well, doesn't
a clanger.
That make it sound cool?
That aluminum
why
came from the moon.
Why wouldn't you want to say it like that then?
Aluminum sounds like an
unattainable
resource.
I went to school within my job, and we had to learn a lot about planes, and like to pass the test, you know, there's a lot of things that's made out of aluminum, and the only way that I could catch that mnemonic device was I would call it aluminium.
I just don't get where the extra syllable comes from.
It's British people. The thing is,
don't
the British people think that they have monopoly on the English language, so therefore if it's not inside that tiny little island that occupies 2% of the world's surface, then everything is wrong. This is the thing. It's like, no, it's pronounced aluminium. You know, they get right up on their high horse. I couldn't give a shit, especially when I moved, I migrated over into Europe, and it's like all of that stuff is no longer relevant anymore. You know, like I remember because everyone calls phones, mobile phones over here, cell phones, cellular phones. Mm-hmm. So
yes.
I've been here for 10 years, so I'm calling them cellular phones now. And I mentioned it on Facebook and someone piped up saying, what the fuck is a cell phone? Jesus, it's a mobile. And it's like, no, over here they're called cell phones. No, you're such an American. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I call it a cell phone.
Yeah, it's a cellular network. And because British people call them mobile phones, and all of a sudden, if you don't call it a mobile phone, you've been condemned.
You're a traitor.
Yeah, to burn in hell. But anyway,
damn dirty.
Tangent. My fault again. Sorry.
A tangent.
The tangent.
A tangent.
But yeah, there we go. Sorry.
No problems. Well, let's move on from the
tangent. Yeah, let's move on to something else.
Move on.
Has anyone gotten a chance to play the challenge mode this week?
Yeah.
Yes, and never again.
Yeah. Never again. Wow.
I made a video. I made a video on it. Go and watch it.
Yeah.
I made a video on it.
Yeah, challenge mode. It came out. Yeah, in story, you made a video on it. I mean, and that was just a cluster of a day in general. But that was a little bit of a challenge to get done. Not specifically because it's hard, but because you have to be so on point with the timing of putting in the supercharges. I did get it done, but I get the feeling this is going to be kind of like the Oryx challenge, where it's not going to be something I do stream carries for.
So we complained last week that the challenge didn't have enough challenge in it, and they answered us. Too much. Thanks, Bungie.
I can't really complain about it. It was difficult. There was on the video, I was reading through the comments, silly me, and there was
always a good idea.
God, this is so easy. If you can't do this, then you deserve to die of asphyxiation. This is just so easy, and I'm like, no, it's not easy. It's like the timing is absolutely crucial, and if you make one tiny fuck up, that's it. It's wipe territory, back to the beginning, started to fresh. You know, so that is, I think that's hard enough, thank you very much, to have to repeat that every, you know, is it by
why did you go through the comments, man? Did you feel like cutting your wrist that day?
Don't ask. I thing is, though, I promised in the video I'll look forward to reading your comments, blah blah blah. So I did read them, and I was like, oh my god,
yes,
yeah.
At least you're a man of your word.
Yeah, you know.
For anyone
some of them
who
are
doesn't
quite nice.
Know.
Thanks to everybody who does actually put nice, civilized, and helpful comments on Planet Destiny.
The 1 in 20.
True. For the 4 of you who do that, God, we love
you
so
the 4
much.
Of the handful of you, bless your little hearts.
But I feel like we don't earn any more by calling them out either.
Husky really? Raid fans, you're all really nice, true. So thanks for all your really nice comments,
man,
on my videos.
That's because you guys
are really awesome. We're just kidding around. We have tons of great people who follow Planet Destiny. Right now, the Twitch chat is literally just filled with tons of
everyone.
We only
thank
get
you,
good
yeah.
people
all
in
of
our
you
Twitch
for
chat.
Here. We like to pull legs around here. But.
We're just joking. We make fun of each other, too. It's fine. It's fine. We love you.
Yeah. But yeah, but as far as the challenge mode goes, I think reward-wise, I have a little criticism. I mean, yes, the emblem is actually very nice. It was nice to get an exotic engram. But, like, what's burning me out about the raid at the moment is, like, armor. The armor is actually cool, and some of it has uses in PvP this time. So, like, Mortal Medicine is a pretty strong perk. That's quite desirable for certain circumstances. And the boots as well, the increased agility after getting melee kills, that can come in handy as well. So obviously trying to get yourself loaded out with some of these nice raid chest pieces and boots and stuff like that is pretty good, but like I'm just not getting any of them from and when you do get them, you have to try and re-roll the re-rolling's great, I'm not going to complain about that, I think that's a great feature, but like the amount of key fragments that you're earning through a heroic run is like really lacking at the moment. Like I'm getting a chance to re-roll a pair of boots maybe once or twice, you know, as well as get a cash key and yeah, loot wise, especially for challenge mode, I thought it was a little bit lacking. I think you should be guaranteed a piece of like armor or something like that.
But we do like guaranteed loot around here.
Yes, guaranteed, because that's tough for six people to time that all quite nicely, even though hasn't it been two manned or some shit?
Boffin
is two manned.
Don't use those outliers to judge yourself. All right, there's out there. Okay, yeah. I don't know how people do that.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Now, it's been unnormal. It's been done by one person now.
Somebody soloed the challenge.
We've seen that. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know how
even on normal. I'm not a big PvE dude, so even on normal, I'm like, nah, I'll take six.
We're
good.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's
well, for anyone out there. Though. You know. I was just going to say, for anyone out there who doesn't know, the challenge mode for Axis is basically...
Oh, yeah, we didn't describe it.
We didn't even describe it yet. When you get the empowerment, when you get to the phase where you're setting up your teleports, in the back where the servitors sacrifice themselves, you can actually trade in your empowerment to charge everyone's super once. You basically have to get one person who's empowered to hit that panel, charge out the super before you slam Axis and start off your damage phase. You have to do that. You have to do it for every teleport that he does without missing a damage phase, which means you have at most 3 to 5 seconds to get your supercharge and to slam Axis.
You basically have to dunk before you dunk.
Yep. Yes.
You dunk the floor and then you dunk the big boy. And the reason it's just so tricky is because the window for dunking on the big boy is already... relatively short.
It is.
And people get really panicked. You know what I mean?
That's the thing. A lot of the biggest challenge for my group was people were slamming Axis before we traded supers. And that was the big issue there. And that's... It's pretty strict. Because, like, what? On the first teleport, you have, like, what? 3 seconds to get to Axis?
Mm-hmm.
So within that time frame, you gotta move.
Yeah.
And it can be rough. It's not necessarily a super... like structurally hard challenge. It's just a very demanding one.
Yeah.
Your communication has to be on point. You have to call out as soon as Axis teleports. You have to know what side he's on, and everybody has to be looking. Well, everybody who's not on the side that Axis is on has to be looking for their panels.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little rough.
Yeah, man.
A little bit.
You know, it's funny is we were on stream too, like the day before. You know, playing some Iron Banner, and everybody's like, "Oh, what's?" It might have been. I think it was. Trials, my bad. Either way, everybody's like, what do you think the challenge mode is going to be tomorrow? And I was like, you know what? Something that's very underutilized is those panels. I was like, those panels, watch. Yeah. Watch, it's going to be something to do with those panels. And everybody's
they
like, what are you talking about? What panels? And I was like, that's my point. They're very underutilized.
Exactly. Bungie heard you talking, and they quickly added that. They went, oh, that's way better than what we have.
But as a challenge mode, though, I think it was challenging enough, and it was a nice little addition to our raid routine for the week.
Sure.
With this being the last thing for the raid, at least until the distant future, overall, are we still rating this raid pretty high? Because I still think it's... probably my favorite.
Oh,
I still think it's
definitely
top tier raid for sure.
I think any negative criticisms towards the raid at the moment are probably stemming from the root that they've played it so much already. Burnout. It's not the fact that, oh, there's not enough content. You know, it's like, no, you've just consumed the content like a ravenous beast with an appetite, you know, as if you've been starved for 10 years. I'm burned out on it at the moment. I'm also getting a little bit annoyed at the fact that it's trying to prolong the playability by starving me of armor. I'm not really getting armor as much. I mean, I got a few bits and pieces in the first couple of weeks, but now we're going for heroic mode loot. These heroic pieces that you can put your ornaments on, they're really, really not dropping for me at the moment, and that's not really motivating me to play it. That's doing quite the opposite. It's like, I can't be asked grinding this on 3 characters. I think I'll give it a miss and maybe skip the perks that you get from that cool-looking stuff. Maybe the burnout will go away. Maybe if take a little break and then come back to it, perhaps, possibly. But as far as it goes, you're right, Bones. It's still a phenomenal raid. I would still give it, like, the gold star above the rest of them. And that's saying a lot, considering Vault of Glass still has a very special place in our hearts.
Nothing can beat Vault of Glass for me.
Yeah,
that was my favorite.
I definitely like this raid, and I like the challenges more than Oryx. Just because I felt like every time we sat down and did Oryx, it's like, hey, guys, okay, we're going to be here for a couple hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take the night off.
Orcs brought the worst out in my groups more often than Wrath of the Machine does. I'll say that, you know.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I still play Vault pretty much every week. I try to make that a part of
wow.
my... I do. I make it a part of my stream
I
schedule.
I can't get anybody to run it with me. I still don't have no time to explain.
You've not
I've
heard of retro,
a year.
The famous Retro Raid Night.
Retro Raid Night, man. I do that, and I make it a point to run Vault every single week because it's still my favorite content in the game. And it's still certainly a fantastic raid. But yeah, Wrath of the Machine is right there underneath Vault of Glass for me. It's still an absolute joy to run. I love it way more than King's Fall. Not to say King's Fall was a bad raid, but it was way more frustrating. And
yes.
Wrath of the Machine is fun to play for me. It's very fun. Mm-hmm. And I'd say it's part of the best content in the game right now, really.
I would concur. Nothing's better than Archon's Forge. Don't be ridiculous.
I actually enjoy Archon's Forge.
Yeah,
I did for a while there, and then after I did it, my 200th completion, and didn't get the god roll, Thalin's Vigil, then I like, nah, done.
That's enough.
This is why I don't play PvE.
Well, I'm still looking out for the Winged Word Trial Sniper.
Really?
I've got like six of them. If there was trading, I'd give you one. Really?
Yeah, oh, dude. I'll give you eight of the shotguns I have. But yes, I've done. I've gotten all three Guardians up to the weapon drop every weekend of trial since Rise of Iron came out. And I have not got that sniper.
Poor guy.
Jeez.
It's nice. Are we moving on to trials now? Is this the segue?
Well,
his lack of a winged word, could that be our segue?
I don't need to talk about my RNG any longer than that.
The sad segue.
What I love about this game is that Bones, obviously, like, he has good enough stuff, and he's good enough to get to the weapon drop every week, but he's still like, I want this other thing that I obviously don't need.
First world problems, man.
Now, it was on Banner next, really. I was trying to intelligently link a segue, but we actually are due to speak about Iron Banner.
Yes, we can't deviate off script. Never go off script.
This is Planet Destiny. We say our segue, and then we acknowledge that we made a segue.
Yes.
And then we talk about that, and then we get to the next topic.
Because the thing is, the segues is so, like, intelligent. And it's like most people, they'll be like, whoosh. Like, in a, no, you just missed something highly intelligent
there. To draw attention to how great we are.
That was a clutch segue.
Yeah, it was a clutch segue. It needs to be mentioned. You
very
know?
Very clever. You did a good job, man.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
But yeah, so Iron Banner. How are we liking Iron Banner this week? Huh?
I love the aggression. It's great.
Getting into the moment. I'm really liking Iron Banner. I had a really great time the last time it was here because I really love Supremacy. Not a lot of people do.
I
enjoyed it. But we're going Supremacy. Back to our roots here with Control. And
going
I'm actually having a really good time going back to basic Iron Banner. I've been getting
back
a lot of loot drops too.
Control and red
Balls.
Yeah,
loot drops are crazy. Of course, they're just like last time.
I was actually very glad to be wrong about my prediction on them reducing loot drops. I will stand by.
Be wrong.
Yep.
Idiot.
I am so glad to be wrong on that one. I think I have 10 clever dragons at this present moment.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bungie is literally throwing the dragons right at me, like, every game.
Yeah.
I can't move. I stream
the first day of Iron Banner for 6 hours straight, and the people that were playing with me were getting so pissed because it was like every 3 games I would get a clever dragon. Like, I was just dismantling them at a point because I was like, I have every role I want already. These are just nothing to me.
Megan, is that a chip? Is that a chipmunk on your shoulder?
What? Oh, that is
the cat.
It's a cat in the background.
I thought it was sitting on your shoulder. It's like, oh my god!
It's a camera angle. It looks like there's something right on his shoulder.
He's Dr. Doolittle.
That is my wife's cat. He does not like me, or I try to get him, but he just runs away. So.
Chipmunk or something. I was like, can it sing? Can you get it to talk? Anyway, sorry. Yeah, a tangent.
Oh, no, you're good. You're good. The drops though. I wish I had a kid.
Oops.
The drops though. I got my God roll clever dragon like the first week Iron Banner. I was one of the lucky ones. Got in a package, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really hoping they'd sell the Distant Star instead. And I was like, yeah, let's go with that one. Mm-hmm. Get the God roll of that. Yeah, it didn't happen for me. No. Well, this Iron Banner was a failure for me. I mean, but that's a very isolated incident, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not a failure if you had fun, though. Did you have fun?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Did it with viewers. It was fantastic.
You know, and I was going to say, even if you didn't get a good, clever dragon drop, the one Lady Ephrodite is selling is pretty darn close to being
good.
Perfect.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's pretty
because,
good.
And that goes for pretty much everything she's got.
Some people are going to not get the role that they're after. It might not be a god role, though, but the kind, some people have actually suggested some very, I don't know, non-kind of meta loadouts for the old Clever Dragon that I wasn't particularly interested in. That's got me kind of thinking, maybe I should try this, maybe I should try that. So, yeah, at least you've got the option to buy a very, very good version of the old dragon from Ephrodite herself. So,
you know, and kind of speaking on that, like, you know, like roles outside the meta, this actually came up on the Planet Destiny stream as well. When I was streaming, you know, a lot of people have given me different suggestions for which kind of god role you can go. And I'm kind of defining god role as something a little bit differently now. I wouldn't really define it too much as like one specific set of perks that can kill, you know, anything at the, you know, like that everybody's looking for. My playstyle, I'm one of those dudes that I run around with the Havoc Pigeon and sticky grenades, you know? So that's and I'm very successful in it. I'm like top 300 on, you know, Xbox. So I mean, like, I'm very successful in that play.
No big deal.
But my point is like my perfect role is one with like Grenadier and Snapshot and then Hidden Hand, because that Hidden Hand really pulls over towards like what I use with my Mida and stuff. And so I was like, your god role is really just like whatever caters to the playstyle that you play in. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's a good point. For the record, I would like to clarify that someone did prove that Quick Draw is better on the Clever Dragon than Snapshot. You will
is
ADS
it?
Faster with Quick Draw than you will with Snapshot, which is kind
this
of
this
is
classic
kind of
Fallout advice right here that he had to.
Hey, I mean, I just want to
he's
make
got
sure,
verification on the microseconds
just make sure
that
the people know all the information. Yeah, Quick Draw is technically faster ADS speed than Snapshot on the Clever Dragon.
Yeah, but when you're capping a flag, if you hump the flag, it burns.
Yeah, it does. God. It does. That's absolutely true. Any video that says otherwise is a lie.
Yeah, I actually found a method that does help the flag burn quicker as well, and that's singing share songs.
Oh,
at the top of your voice.
Well, that will burn everything.
Yeah. I've got
just
you.
Exactly.
You know?
If you do that, you just win the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just ends. But so, I'm pretty happy with my Clever Dragon. It's actually identical to the one that they're selling at the temple, except in the middle it has Quick Draw, so it's really, really good.
Nice. What's your thoughts on Rangefinder? Because I noticed on Twitter, I posted a picture of this. That was the one that I wanted. I thought that Rangefinder would actually do something good, but there was a lot of the general consensus that Rangefinder is a waste of a perk on a pulse rifle. What do you reckon, Mr. Crucible Science?
Yes, Mr. Analysis, tell us.
I wouldn't say it's a waste. I mean, Bonesy can back me up here. Range is a good thing that you need to have on a pulse rifle. It's if you have very low range. It's also been confirmed that the grouping of your bullets,
The cone,
like when you burst, it will be not as tight and concentrated if you have extremely low range. So stability, very important on your pulse rifle, but you need to have good range too.
Nice, because I think I got one with high cal rounds, rangefinder, and hand laid stock.
As with the option,
hand laid stock or
one.
Send it. I mean, the send it, it really does. The grouping goes all over the shop when you put send it on. But
the thing about that is, like, I definitely lean towards high stability rolls. Mm-hmm. It feels super comfortable. I like the ease of it. But when it comes down to it, you can, as a player, control stability and work with that to improve your shot. There is nothing you can do about making bullets hit for their max impact at range. There is nothing you can do about that. You are gonna, if you are engaging at a range and you're using less range on a gun than the, if the identical gun is across from you, there's nothing you can do about changing that interaction. So if you feel like you're just doing those shots where you're, I do that a lot where it's like you shoot them and they get away and you're like, oh man, I put like five bursts into them. It's like, well, you probably got one less point on your crits and they got just enough time to get away.
Yeah.
So if you feel like that happens, maybe range is more your thing.
I got a load of rolls. The thing is, I really am stuck for which one to use. I got like perfect balance, quick draw, counterbalance. You know, like yep. it's like sure, I've got ones like that. I've got ones with outlaw on, ones with feeding frenzy. You know, ones with absolute max stability. So I've been showered in the things. I just don't know which one to use.
I'm the same. I'm going I think there was a point I had like six on me that I would kept switching between to try to decide which one.
It's like, oh, I'll have why this one for Mondays, and then this one for Tuesday, and this one for Sunday.
But the Tuesday dragon. Yes.
The one thing that I found, though, is the one with high cal rounds is winning pretty much every gunfight that I engage in. And that feels to me not right. Because there was, for example, I was using it in trials with my trusty Queensbreaker bow as my special weapon, which was my favorite loadout for this weekend.
Nice.
But the Clever Dragon was a great, with the high cal rounds. I mean, it just seemed that every gunfight that I would enter, no matter the skill of the other player and whatever, I mean, we're talking like close to medium to slightly after medium, nothing at long ranges. Every gunfight, even if they shot first, I would win it. You know? So I'm not too sure. And I'm seeing a lot of feedback on the whole high cal rounds on the Clever Dragon at the moment. And the general consensus seems to be that it's a little bit on the overpowered, the overpooped side. Thoughts on that, gentlemen?
You know, it really seems to be the next thing that the community is kind of rallying both for and against.
Yeah.
Everybody wants high cal rounds, especially on the Clever Dragon. Now, on the dragons that I've gotten, none of them have had high caliber rounds.
Really?
But certainly, none of them. None of them have had it, but it performs well enough without it. But but high cal, of course, it's very good on scout rifles, very good on pretty much everything it's got, or that can have it. I don't know if I would say it's broken.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I mean, it could be because I'm just massively skilled. My skill
is you could
just
be amazing.
Just
all over
the
place.
Just
incredible. Yeah.
It's gonna be the next shot package. What?
Yeah, but
like I said,
I also
the
have high cal
really rallying on it.
I have high cal on a distant star as well, and I'm also winning a lot of gunfights with that, especially at range. So
it's that flinch factor.
Yeah,
Clever Dragon is one of those pulse rifles that fire. It fires a little bit quicker. You're trying to spam the trigger to just kind of wash them away with an overdose of bullets, and that tiny extra flinch factor, it just helps a lot because they're trying to concentrate, they're trying to shoot you back, but you're just repeatedly spraying them in the face,
throwing them off. Mm-hmm.
and that's how you win the gunfight.
Yeah, man. Remember this one bit with this Clever Dragon. It was on first light. You know, you got that building with the radars and stuff at the top. There was the player that was actually kicking our ass. He was running last word sniper combo, and he jumped right on top of that to get a revive, and I just leathered him. He was shooting at me. I was in literally like death range of a last word, like literally death range. I was dead. I thought, man, there's no way I'm gonna win this. Brr, 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 dead. And I'm like, oh my god, how did I win this? And it just kept happening throughout the whole game, and I'm like, oh, I don't know, it's not me. I think this is the high cal definitely taking, powering me with giving me the power, you know. But yeah, it's a
strong gun to be sure. I feel like I'm really happy that they're selling it, just because I like the fact that so many people in the community have the ability to get access to a really good primary now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes a lot of people feel kind of left out or whatever.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. I'm actually like that they sold it for the simple fact that now you're seeing more primary fights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
for
it's
sure.
not it's not all yeah. just a special battle. Who's got you know, who's got the better sniper? Who's got the better matador specifically?
I like seeing all players primary on fair fights. And equal ground. You know what I mean? I like having everyone getting the ability to compete at a similar level. And it goes back to the times when I had a year one matador and people were saying things like, "Oh, you shouldn't use that. How would you feel if Bungie gave everybody a year three matador? How would you feel about that?" I'd feel great about it, because everyone would have an incredible shotgun. No one would be put at a disadvantage due to RNG alone. I think it's great that people have access to strong weapons.
And that's one of the resounding issues with like trying to get yourself loaded out for Crucible, is trying to get that group of weapons that belongs, you know, in the top tier stuff. Like the trying to get a matador a good Matador with max range, max impact. That's like the quest that, you know, most PvP yeah. players will set out to do. I like things like that. That gives you a purpose and stuff. But when they're not dropping, like, I've got friends that still haven't got, like, the Metador. They still haven't got, and they've put a lot of hours into Crucible. And you think, that's just crazy. They were being showered on the first couple mm-hmm. of weeks. But they were for some people, but some people are literally denied certain things in order to keep that carrot dangling, you know, above their faces. So, but yeah, I'm completely with you. People do deserve to have this stuff, and they do deserve to be able to compete on that same level. Because even the best role party crashers can't really 100% compete with a Metador, you know.
It's true.
Yeah.
Because that extra impact goes mm-hmm. a long way.
It yeah, actually, something. With Mesa Sean, he did a video, I think like a week ago, and he used the special box to measure you know, how far you weigh. Yeah, and 7 meters was the sweet spot. Yeah. 7 meters. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah. And then the Party Crasher could barely hit at 5. I'm yeah. like, that yeah. 2 meters yeah. of in-game
it depends a lot on your difference. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, just because the Matador has that extra shade of yeah. impact yeah. that you can get from ag balls on your tree.
Yeah.
Can ag I ask a question?
Yes.
Has anyone ever put weighed in the amount of meters in a shot when they've played Destiny? Like
no.
it's a the new conversation is like, ah, yeah. this many meters, and I'm like, yes, I don't know indeed. What a meter is in Destiny. I've never known what that is.
You stand your subject on top of a special ammo crate in Mayhem Rumble.
Yeah.
And then
like I know when I'm 15 meters away from heavy and someone picked it up and they yeah. didn't wait for anyone else. Like I know that scenario. But when it comes down to the 1v1s, I'm just like, why would I ever, like, I don't know.
You're never running towards someone with your Matador and you're like, oh crap, I'm 8 meters away from it. I need to approach
calculating out. I'm exactly 8 meters away.
Just,
I take one
that,
more
that,
step.
It's just that distance, though. You know what I mean? It's you're just that yeah, much yeah. further away yeah,
you just
than
know.
Somebody who's used to playing in the same play style. You know what I mean? So yeah. you kind of, if sure. you're using a weapon for quite a while, you know, obviously not in meters, any kind of right. form of measurement,
yeah.
but you know you where that sweet it. Spot is to hit somebody. Yeah. You know, with that shotgun burst. And yeah. Yeah. you know, if you're using that Matador, that God rolled Matador, you're like, I know. I can be a little bit further outside your range and I can still get the kill.
Yeah, man. That's I mean, exactly that's a good right. yeah. a good tip for everybody. If you're having trouble with trying to rehearse or drum into your muscle memory the most effective ranges for the favorite weapons that you use, hop into a private match with a friend and Mayhem Rumble, because the special crates spawn, you know, like, you know, every few moments there.
Yeah.
Just stand them near to a special crate, and then, you know, you've got a perfect distance factor. So you can try and drum into your head the most effective ranges with the meter reading as well. I mean, I was kind of forced to do that with the weapons videos that I've been making, because it just gives folks more information, even though I didn't really care about it myself. And, you know, but it does help. It helps you be a lot more effective in PvP. So there's a tip for you.
You
or
go.
Just use a sidearm.
Just use what? Rockets. Just use a super.
Trespasser's great.
Just
bone me, man. You got to play, man. You got to play with a sidearm. Trust me, bro. You won't be a. You'll win a lot more against shotguns.
I love the Trespasser. I mean,
I'm
it's like it's ruining other sidearms for me because it's just like so fun.
So good.
So no, so yeah. I still use my Havoc Pigeon, bro. Havoc Pigeon with high caliber rounds.
That's a classic.
Dirty. It's dirty.
Yeah, I still got what's the Iron Banner one that was like the first week?
The Iron Reef.
Iron Reef.
Yeah. Yeah.
First week of Iron Banner of year two, we got the Iron Reef, and then we got the Nerwin's Mercy. Mm-hmm. And those two guns, like, that's all I needed for the rest yep. of the year in terms of those archetypes. Just perfect.
I love the design on that Iron Reef. It's such a badass-looking
oh, yeah.
gun.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm one, too, for the aesthetics. I'm like, it's got a suppressor. I mean...
Yeah, it's got
yeah, right.
a silencer on it.
It's the sound it's like of the Iron
USP.
Reef as well. You know,
we're doing our best Iron Reef impressions here.
Yeah, everyone makes sidearm sounds.
Yeah, I mean, it basically,
no,
looks
I
like
prefer
a USB.
The Havoc Pigeon over the Iron Reef. It shoots just a bit slower, but you can put off 4 rounds rather than 6, and you can get yeah. the kill just a bit faster. Mm-hmm. It's a I'm telling you, sidearms. That's what the new meta's at, guys. Sidearms. Nobody
don't give away all
me.
Your secrets.
Nobody believed me with sticky grenades, and now everybody's using sticky grenades.
Anthony, did you tell Shax that I wanted a Havoc Pigeon? Because there was a point in year 2 Destiny where every single time I leveled up my Crucible package, every time he would give me a Havoc Pigeon. I'm like,
honestly, I had a lot of luck. You should have bought the vendor one, man. It was Feeding Frenzy and Crowd Control, bro.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. While we're on the subject of Iron Banner, thoughts on going back to Control after we've had such a break away from Control as the Iron Banner game mode?
I get real burned out with Control, and I say that about sixes in general, but I realized that this week that I didn't have a problem with playing a good long night full of Supremacy.
Me too.
And blah, blah, blah. I'm the try-hard guy that loves playing shotguns, and everyone didn't like that and wants primary kills. Yeah. But just generally speaking about the game type, I get so burnt out on Control and sometimes Clash that I just realized I couldn't do it. You know, I wanted to just hang out in the party chat all night.
Yeah.
And I was like, guys, I'm going to go play something else. I'm going crazy here. It's stressing me out, and I don't want to be stressed. But that's just me. It's a totally personal
thing. I'm with
you,
mate. I am not a fan of Control. I've never been a fan of Control. Every Iron Banner Control, I'm like, oh, God, not again. I don't know. It's just the way that the game plays, because I will, when I hop on a morning and try and gather some footage, I'm going to be playing alone. And playing Iron Banner alone anyway is like being repeatedly smacked in the face with a piece of 2x4, you know. And then Control, I don't know what it is about Control that just makes it 10 times worse. I mean, I do. It's the players that I get matched with. Number one, rush B, die, spawn in. Rush B, die, spawn in. It's like, you know. There are three flags. The whole point of Control is to occupy two of them and then go on your selfish kill streaks. That is that's the objective. If you're going on a selfish kill streak when you only have one or no flags, you are losing your team. You know, you're literally losing the game for us. And that's pretty much everyone who I get matched with. That's what they do. So it's just really laborious, you know. I think Control could possibly have a point scoring tweak to make it a little bit more team centric, you know, because that's basically what it is. And I know the general consensus is, well, don't play Iron Banner alone, then go stacked, and that's what you have to do really to get the wins. Yeah. I suppose.
Yeah. But I feel a bit different about it. Like I'm not a big fan of Clash. I'm not a big fan of Supremacy either, just because I was never a fan of Kill Confirmed from Call of Duty. Mm. It's just not my kind of game type, that's all. I mean, and you know, I might be in the minority, but that's my opinion. Oh, I have an opinion.
What?
God. I like Control.
Where's the Disconnect podcast?
Immediately. Hang up.
I like Control for Iron Banner because it gives, I mean, at least somewhat of an objective. You know what I mean? And, you know, when it is Clash, everyone's just fucking running around doing whatever they want. And, you know, like, it makes, I'm like, hey, like, don't go out there and die. I mean, I know we're only, like, three people in here, three randoms, like, but don't go out there and die, dude. Like, just stay back. You know what I mean? Try to team shot. We can get this. And if it's with Control, I feel like it's a little bit more, less punishing to that. You can control your zones. And obviously, if you're not controlling your zones, then you know you're losing. But you have an objective. You have an objective.
When you're rolling stacked, it's much more fun. It's much more engaging. I think it's just a much harder mode if you want to hop in and just try and earn, you know, your rep and try and get your bounties done on your own. You know,
solo,
I think it's like, I would say personally, Control is as team focused as something like Rift. You know, it's not like a terrible game mode. I've just never really enjoyed it because of, like, if you're not going with at least three or four teammates that have brains, then... Because always with the matchmaking, the enemy team know exactly what to do. They're playing the way the mode that should be played. It's just that your team always seems to be...
Don't play solo, man.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Don't do it to yourself. Yeah.
I'm probably the
most casual person in here, I would say, and the worst player. And I normally don't care that much about winning. So I don't mind control normally, but with Iron Banner, I do like to win, and I also go in alone a lot, so I can see where story's coming from here. And I will say the one thing I really preferred about Supremacy is just that when I load into a game that I'm losing in control, I feel like it's over. But Supremacy, I always felt like I had a chance at making a comeback, because you could turn it around, huge comebacks in Supremacy. But Control, once they're up like 1,500 points, sometimes I'm looking at my team and I'm like, there's no way this is going to happen.
Well, in Supremacy, two good players can carry an entire team. It's not guaranteed, but they have the opportunity. And that seems to be the ratio with the matchmaking, is that you will have two players with brains, four players without brains.
That's really accurate.
You know, like it's just down to experience. I mean, I thoroughly understand that the players without, you know, the Crucible kind of mindset do need wins and everything. But like, I just think when you're trying to match, you know, the enemy team on equal skill, it's just the handicap is just stupid. It's really aggravating. So Supremacy is a much more effective mode to play with less players that know what they're doing. Yeah. Even if I didn't care about the shotgun centric nature of the gameplay, it's like, okay, Iron Banner, it's all about winning. It's about getting your rep. It was about getting your rep. Now we've got this brings us to the next bit, the new loot system. Ranking up now doesn't really have much of an incentive. Like, obviously you when you get rep, you're also contributing to your bounties, but the bounties can now be completed with, you know, extraneously to reputation, which was a really odd change in my opinion. It doesn't really make much sense. It was like a spur of the minute thing. Someone just went, press that button, quick, live.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was really weird to take away. Like, your only real incentive, I guess, to hit rank 5 now is to be able to buy the weapons, but there's so many drops now for the weapons that I didn't need to buy the weapons. So I hit rank 5. And I was like, oh, why did I even waste my time? I have a better role than this stuff already.
Well, I mean, Bungie's kind of walking on that fine line where they're trying to find the perfect mixture of...
The perfect balance, if you will.
Yes, people getting the gear they want, but they don't want it to feel too grindy. You want to feel like you're earning it. You don't want to feel like you're walking into PvP, tripping over a clever dragon immediately. Oh, we'll take this home. They want you to get to get the good gear.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they don't want you to... overgrind. So I think they're trying to find that perfect ratio.
I guess it's probably fine if you were just grinding to hit, like, if you grind to rank 5, you didn't have a good clever dragon, you could buy the vendor one, and that would be worth it. Yeah. And I was thinking to myself, well, now I have no motivation to hit rank 5 on my other characters, but then I realized just by doing the bounties, I hit rank 5 naturally, so I guess it worked out okay.
I was going to say, they say as much with when they were talking about their goals for Iron Banner. They don't want it to be a grind fest where people have to calculate out exactly how many matches they're going to have to play, when they should turn in their bounties. They just want you to be able to play it and get the drops from it. And I think they've done overall a pretty good job with that. It literally rains loot, win or loss, in the Iron Banner. You can go in there and have a 10 game losing streak, and you'll probably still get a few drops within that. And that's really good. And I mean, with the rank 3 and rank 5 reward package, back in the day, it was what? You got like a ghost at rank 3, and at rank 5 you got an artifact and like a piece of a weapon or an armor.
Yep.
That's basically been rolled into the bounties now. Mm-hmm. So now you get 4 pieces of gear from the bounties. You get 2 pieces of armor, 2 weapons. And, you know, I don't have a problem with that. I did kind of miss the quest line, the Dragon of Light quest line that we had in the previous Iron Banner tournament, which was just extra rewards on top of what you got from the bounties. But I thought the loot system for this tournament, it's good.
I agree that it was rewarding. I was just kind of like, well, what's even the point of, like, why are the ranks even here? Like, what do they mean now more than anything?
You get those drops and it's like, why go to rank 5? Yeah. I already got, you know, 4 clever dragon drops. Why hit rank 5?
It literally needs no rank almost. Yeah.
I think the formula for the first Iron Banner for Rise of Iron, where we had Supremacy as the mode, I think that system was perfect, and I really didn't think that needed any changes to it. So it kind of does bewilder me a little bit that they felt compelled to fiddle with that when there were other things that could have had a bit of attention. I didn't see any problems with it. I mean, there was a few complaints from people saying that, oh, there's too much stuff. And it's like,
Shut the hell up.
Shut up. Close your mouth. And this is disappear.
No, they listen.
Shush, baby, is okay.
But yeah, I just don't think it needed messing with it. I looked forward to those packages because they were. I mean, yeah, you get like the opportunity to have some legendary gear from, you know, cashing in your bounties. I just thought, well, why not have one at least? Just have it at rank 5 then. When you hit rank 5, you get some extra stuff. Well done, you've just hit rank 5 and you've braved the intolerable, you know, laggy mess that's Iron Banner. So here's a piece of armor. That's another thing that's worth mentioning. I noticed, just watching from other streamers play, is that they were getting haunted with armor and getting no weapons, whereas I've been haunted with weapons and had no armor drops, like literally no armor drops at all. I was looking forward to varying my loadouts for all three characters, getting some different stat rolls, you know, chest pieces with extra fusion, boots with extra fusion rifle ammo, etc., etc. And the variation for me with armor is just, I mean, the game is like literally like no armor for you, armor for you. So I noticed that there was a little bit of that gear loopage, you know, continuing going on. Has anyone else experienced that where they're not getting anything of a certain type?
Absolutely. I'm only getting primaries. I'm getting tons of clever dragons and that's it. I have gotten one machine gun and no armor, I think. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah. I think I'm one of the few that's gotten like 15 ghosts too.
Oh my god. A ghost is all that's been holding me back for weeks from light level 400. Like, I can't get one.
My wife's over here like, I need a ghost. I was like, play Iron Banner. She's like, I have been. I haven't got a single ghost. And I was like, wow, that's weird because I've got like 100 ghosts.
Yeah, man. Gear loops are quite annoying. I'm still not convinced whether a gear loop is an intentional thing or whether it is a side product of the whole private loot stream shenanigan or not.
I think there's just a million players and it's all anecdotal.
Yeah,
it's just RNG.
That's probably correct.
Like, you can have a miracle happen and I might play a year of Rise of Iron and never get the Winged Word, but like that sort of those odds happen on a daily basis. You know, there's always
no,
one
it's
person
all a
getting,
conspiracy bones. Stop trying.
There's
to
one person in a
I don't
car
think it's
wreck
either
on the
or.
10
I think
every day of my life. Every day of my life, there's someone in a car accident on the 10 highway, and I'm like, who's doing this? Why do you keep getting in car wrecks?
It's the same guy.
Someone
every
happens
day.
Yeah. Every day.
It's the same guy.
Have you seen
and every
Westworld?
Day when he's being pulled out
it's
by
that,
the ambulance, he's like, I still got my wing. And Bones just has to look at it and be like,
well, I now know what I'm paying attention to on my Twitter feed now. Bones posting a screen grab of that Winged Word dropping for
me. Oh, it'll
as well.
It'll happen. Don't you worry.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tag you in one. Don't worry. I'll get one this next Iron Trials, and I'll tag you in it.
While we're on the subject of loot, what's everyone's favorite piece of Iron Banner gear that they've got so far? Let's go with
Everett.
Probably the chest piece. I play a warlock, and that chainmail looks so nice on that warlock. Mm-hmm. Yes. It looks so good. I'm like, I don't want to give up my Starfire protocol, but I'm like, oh, it looks so nice.
Wait, hold on, back it up. Starfire protocol?
This man with the stickies.
Stickies, yep.
Yes! Finally, someone else! Okay.
I run Touch of Flame Viking Funeral. So I can have those burn stickies, and then Starfire Protocol gives
fusion.
You an extra sticky.
Right on, brother.
There you go.
Finally, somebody else who does it.
You can res the only with one. Sticky grenades. It's OP.
Fallout, what's your best piece of gear, mate?
Ever so an Iron Banner?
No, this Iron Banner.
This Iron Banner.
Oh, this Iron Banner. It's definitely my Clever Dragon with the full stability and the quick draw. Fantastic gun. Love it.
Excellent. Mega.
I mean, I love the Clever Dragon too, but I still have to stick with my lingering song, Four Shots, Luck in the Chamber. I kill people so fast. I love it. I suck at this game, so if I can two shot somebody, that makes it way easier for me.
I'd love one of those, man. Yeah, man, I'd love one of them. Bones, what's your best that you got so far?
I got a nice scout rifle. This is the Distant Star with a hidden hand, and I managed to get a braced frame plus, I think it's a appended mag, whatever you call it. Yeah. So the big problem I had with that scout rifle was how the mag size, if you wanted high stability, would get down to 10, which I think is just crazy.
Yeah.
You know, we have hand cannons with more rounds. So I managed to counteract that and still get my high stability, like I said. So it's pretty solid. I don't know if it's the best scout rifle in the game, but if there is a role to use for that gun, I think I have it. So I'm pretty happy with that.
Nice. And finally, Link. Your best.
Right on. Well, I've got one clever dragon that I've really been digging on. It came with Hammerforged, let's see, what else did it have on it? Braced Frame, Snapshot, and Headseeker. And it's been performing pretty well for me thus far. I'm still seeking that that high caliber rounds roll, but that's probably going to be my favorite drop thus far.
Awesome sauce. I think I'd probably have to go with the clever dragon that I got with where is it now? It had, I don't think it had perfect balance, high cal rounds and rangefinder. So yeah, I think that's been really effective. I'm pulse rifle gameplay is becoming a little bit on the stale side for me, but like I think as like the most effective weapon that I've had so far from Iron Banner, that would be definitely that one.
Right on.
Anything else to mention about the banner this week?
Well, sure, I mean, pick up that armor because it can help you get to tier 12. It's got a high roll.
100% rolls, dude.
Grab that armor, boys.
Ludicrously good. Yeah,
well, they're like 98% rolls. Not quite 100%.
The Discipline Strength chest piece is a 100% roll, I do believe.
Ooh.
And it's got Pulse Rifle Shotgun on it, I think.
No matter what, it's high.
It's good.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
it's
it is 100%.
It's all 212. Looking at it.
It's all 212. It's good. It's good stuff.
It's all semantics. It's all good.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Beautiful.
Though,
beautiful.
Like, speaking of, you know, I know we glossed over it a little bit quickly. Just want to put in my opinion there. With the way they changed Iron Banner loot system, not loot system, sorry, like how you can get to rank 5 within like the first couple of days now, I think it's actually a little bit better because...
agreed.
Yeah, going back, the way it used to be is like people legitimately only played on, you know, Monday. Just because like, oh, I can get it all done right then and there. You know what I mean? You didn't have to worry. And I'm like, that's my trials time. I'm not doing that. You know what I mean? So now I can actually get like two, and you know, if I grind really hard, I can get a third character to rank 3, and then still have I still work, you know, a lot. I work 50 hours a week. So like, I can still get my rank 3 or 3 characters to rank 5, and then play trials. You know, and not have to worry about it. I think it's a good move. I think it's a really good move.
Yeah, I mean, the whole loot system, the progression system for that Supremacy Iron Banner for me was perfect. I think any changes to that have kind of just dampened it for me. But yeah, like the whole bounty system, the ranking system,
absolutely
way better than what it was. Much more intelligently thought out and a lot more consumer friendly.
Yeah, it's a lot more user-friendly, and I would have to agree with you. I would always go through on my first character, like, starting on Tuesday and get them to rank 5 by, like, Friday. Mm-hmm. And then I would literally wait till Monday to do my other two alts and just rush it out through there. So it's a lot more laid-back now. You can just get all your characters to rank 5 really quickly with the weekly bounties. I think it's a much more accessible, much more friendly system nowadays. I would agree with that. Absolutely.
Okay, then trials. The trials. We're not going to have to cover this subject because Trials of Osiris this weekend. They pulled yet another fastball on the members of the community.
Damn it.
We
promised that it would be normal. And then
we thought. I loved the tweet that Derek Carroll put out saying, "So trials is going to be back to normal this week," and he just posted a picture of himself sucking on the straw of a Slurpee or something like that with a very innocent looking face.
Yes.
I mean,
First Light.
Yeah, like, I've always loaded into that map on a private match and thought this would be a real fun trials map, you know. But no, admittedly, it would probably cause...
Apparently, you're the only one.
Yeah. I've had a barrel of laughs. I didn't expect to have so much fun this weekend, but I had a barrel of laughs because of how much it forced different loadouts. All these new emerging loadouts, like scout rifles, definitely number one primaries.
Yeah.
You know,
no shotgunning this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, there was... I did go up against a few teams that were literally clinging to their matadors, and they got absolutely flattened, you know. But yeah, it was so nice.
As someone who's touched a sniper maybe twice since Destiny came out, this was literally my worst nightmare. And it played out as such, yeah.
Jump on the Sparrow! Just go kamikaze!
Well, we were streaming and we were doing that just to, like, once we gave up on ever possibly winning, we started just bum-rushing the team.
I had actually tweeted out, once I found out that the map was First Light, I said, okay, first person to tweet a clip at me of you killing someone with a Sparrow in Trials gets $5 on PayPal. And everyone's like, oh, man. Within like an hour, I got like 20 clips tweeted at me. It was so hilarious of people going out of their way to run people over with a sparrow on First Light.
Within 2 hours, you were broke.
Yeah, somebody tweeted at me getting a wrecking ball with it was like a 3 minute clip, wrecking ball with a sparrow.
With a
I'm
sparrow.
Like, oh. I'm like, how does that even happen? Like, it took me forever just to get one kill, and you managed to get three? Dude, come on, overachiever,
impressive.
Man,
impressive.
Overachiever.
Light him up.
I had a great time with that, though, because I got, I think it was the second week of Rise of Iron, and I got a God Roll Event Horizon that has just been gathering dust in the vault, you know, and I took it out and went for a spin, and I used it for a full card. I was really, really impressed with it. However, then I realized this map, I'm getting the Queenie back out again, because I've always loved the Queensbreaker bow, and I've done exceptionally well with the Queensbreaker bow, and oh my God, the hate mail flowed from using the Queenie. I mean, it's kind of overpowered with the whole aim assist thing. I prefer to call it the Queen's broken bullshit. Magnetism.
It's banned in tournament play for a reason.
Yeah, yeah. But oh my God, I had so much fun with this. And some of the teams that we ended up beating, we shouldn't have been beating these people. They were like really, really high ranked players, you know, and I just had an absolute blast with it. It's loads of fun. I think there was a lot of criticism that, oh, it's a camping scurry, you know, put the scurry artifact on, camp at the back of spawn, wait for supers to push, and, you know, just be a cheesy, you know, douche about it. But I found that teams like that, like, who were really good with, like, on the ball with sniping, if their no land shot was on point, if their basic sniper rifle shots were on point, they were getting the drop on us sometimes when you're trying to close the distance to get into their spawn, or if you were trying to hang back and wait for them to push with their supers and get a lucky one. But 9 times out of 10, the camping scurry technique literally got them a loss. So I think it was
what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was the emphasis was on you know, being a lot more conscious of these long distance battles and seeing where people were actually, you know, trying to angle you from. But yeah, I had a barrel of laughs with it. I think it was good. My only criticism is that they should have saved this. Let the dust settle from Festival of Lust with the spooky trials. Had a normal weekend, and then maybe like a week or 2 weeks from now. I think they were a little bit too keen on having another, you know, special themed trials. That's the only criticism that I have.
I think there's a lot of people in the community who are literally at this point willing to either sign their soul to the devil or kill a man to get like, just give me Burning Shrine, please. No more surprises.
Bring back the classic.
I like Asylum. Let's go with that.
As somebody who knows that he has no chance of getting the lighthouse anyway, unless somebody like Fallout straps me to their back and just, you know, carries me there, I have a good time with the changes because I'm just playing to have fun anyway. And I got my first ever super salty hate mail message this weekend calling me a camper girl and a piece of shit. So it was, yeah, he was pretty pissed because I clutched on his team when like two of them used their supers, just me versus them. So it was a pretty fun time. I know, no big deal.
You
know.
Camper.
I know, it was a camper girl with my shotgun. They hated me.
The only thing that, you know, really, it kind of, you know, I'm putting this in perspective for you. There's such an excessive amount of shotguns, you know, and I feel like Bungie was like, you know what, instead of fixing the issue, how do we skew the results, or skew the numbers in such a way that, you know, it looks like that it's a balanced, you know.
Or instead of putting on some sort of like malicious trick on them, they said, look, that was a lot of shotgun intensive gameplay for 2 weeks. Let's back it up and let you guys use snipers for a while. I mean, I don't think it's like, haha, if we just use all the big maps, we'll never have to change the game. Like,
Bones, that's too realistic.
Stop,
man.
Defending
they're
them, Bones.
Bend over and plan.
You know, we've got two more. Is it two more really big maps? They've got
Skyshot.
Yeah. Skyshot.
Bastion. Yeah. So maybe there's like another 3 weeks.
Don't put any ideas.
Just like Skyshot
would
be.
I'll play Skyshot.
Yeah,
there was a big miss on what happened the past 3 weeks. and it all got sort of distracted by Festival of the Cost, and people were real upset about needing to spend money on cool things, and that is 100% fine. I get it. I feel that. I felt the same way. But because that was in the air, Friday came and Spooky Trials came out, and what could have just been a fun thing that we all laugh at and say, ha ha, look at this, we get to sneak up on each other, we just lost our minds, and we started raging about that. And then I guess we all forgot that they gave us how long Festival of the Lost was, and that it covers 2 weekends. So when it came again, they're like,
that was,
no, 2 weeks.
What? How is this possible?
It's like, okay, but we also knew the schedule for that. And then now, okay, yes, they were like, oh, God, that was a lot of shotguns. We know it was. It certainly was. It absolutely was. 85% of the kills are shotguns or whatever. So they're like, okay, as a nice pour of water on top of your head and wash off all of that shotgun nonsense, we'll give you a map that everyone's going to use snipers on. And everyone went, no, I want to play close quarters. And it's just like,
so you want like a wide open map, do ya? Yeah.
I think story. I think your main point there is that maybe they just give up on anything, on trying to do anything different, and maybe that would actually be better now. Is just to say, you know what? Let's do Shrine. Let's do Burning Shrine, and just we'll never change Trials again. At least
as soon as they do, I'm gonna hop on. I'm gonna hop on Twitter and complain that it's back to normal.
I think I sincerely hope that they use the initiative to be like, okay, we are going to continue introducing these changes. We're just going to stagger them a little bit more. Because you're going to get hate. You're going to get nasty feedback from people who don't want any change. Because Trials is still insanely popular. People literally live for that weekend of playing Trials. You've got streamers that focus all of their attention on streaming Trials. So the formula for it is quite... you know, it's quite a very careful balance and stuff. So I have absolutely no problem with messing with that balance, but just stagger it out a little bit more. I want to see Bastion. Yeah, it could have picked a better weekend. I think they were a little too desperate this weekend to
wait
like,
a little bit
to put that back in there. But like, it was such a refreshing change to see all these loadouts come back out of the woodwork again that were like super effective, and it also was shining a spotlight on the fact that scouts are good, they are strong. It's just that we have very little long range maps in which to utilize, you know, to actually have a scout rifle as an effective. You know, weapon, Burning Eye, holy shit. Then, you know, if you've got a Cassitis with a good roll on it, oh my god, these things are, you know, really, really
I got
powerful.
To use my favorite gun, which is not like the others, all weekend, and I was so happy to put that gun on. So,
I'm expecting a Nolan Beyond montage from you, Bones. Is this forthcoming?
It's, you know, actually, yes. I think actually, Arrow Knight from Destiny Reset podcast, he's been using it. As well, and we were both sort of freaking out about how much we love Nolan, so we might do a little cotage, a little dual tage, whatever the
I'll
the
send you some
is.
Clips there, Bones, man.
Hey, you know, our guest Anthony here, go check out his YouTube. I was checking it out earlier. He's got a Nolan Beyond montage right in there.
The Nolan Beyontage.
Nolan is one of my favorite weapons. I love coupling it with a sidearm. And actually, like on stream, I ran double snipes a couple of times. It's fun.
Rip.
Oh no.
Oh gosh, should we just lose
it? I thought that was my fault then.
God, story ruined it.
I thought the whole world paused.
Yeah.
Well, at least I squeezed that plug in for his YouTube channel.
Yes.
You made
shit my pants, because at the precise moment that Anthony is frozen, I thought, please don't anything freeze.
Oh boy. Well, we are experiencing technical difficulties.
I binge watched all of Westworld today. I assumed he was just like a host and he got frozen.
That's how it happened.
I'll re-add him to the call just in case.
Yes.
Add people to this call. Yeah, I think he's gone completely offline, maybe. Just a lag spike.
He swerved. He swerved too hard from the meta.
Yeah.
Bungie had to pull him back.
Yeah, as soon as he said, I pair it with a sidearm, it was like, no.
What is
you're
that?
Off course.
Not allowed. Cut that out immediately. Yeah. Cut his feed.
What were we on apart from
off the rails.
Interesting change.
Using scout rifles and long range trials this weekend because of first.
Yeah, let's get some more long range.
It was nice to be
maps.
Able to see some of those lesser used weapons.
So we can use scouts.
Yeah,
Scout Rider. There was a guy playing No Land Fusion, Saladin's Vigil, and he was just destroying with it. You know, like it was was a really nice combination to use on this map. But I loved using the Event Horizon. I was getting the Devil's Dawn out, but not Forgotten. But as soon as I realized, oh my God, Queensbreaker bow. And that was it. I ran that thing as a primary, you know.
The most fun I've had on this map is the way the game shifts once it's either towards the end of a round or maybe you have a few people dead on the map, is when it goes from this very careful, spread out wide, who's flanking, who's doing what, trying to get that first pick, and then it all just sort of like condenses down into the building on B.
Yeah.
And sometimes it went right there. You know, sometimes there were rounds that ended real quick because everyone wanted to push it. And I was playing Night Stalker for the two runs I've done so far. And the fun you can have with Shade Step and Bones of Ao is just like jump up to three, down there, go cut through down, go through the bottom, go run around there. Yeah. And
it's
was
like a little parkour obstacle course that you can just do whatever you want on.
And I would actually just see how long I could stay alive and never try to engage while I wait for a teammate and I'm like, they're on me, come save me. Just run around and jump up. And that three-dimensional gameplay is really fun, and there's very few spots on the standard Trials maps where you have three levels. Yeah. You know, there's ground floor and the middle, which is, you know, inside, which is a whole different way to play it, is to actually stay hidden and then be on the top. I loved that. So any round that got into there, I had a lot of fun with.
I have a really good question that someone asked on Twitter that I wanted to kick it off with. So we're going to start with this one right here.
Okay.
If you're listening to us and you have a question right now, hit us up in the Twitch chat. We'll try to get to you. But the question is from Crimson Wolf, and he wants to know who everyone's favorite Pokemon is and why.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a really good
Jesus,
question.
Ask me to pick between one of my favorite 600 children. Like, that's just...
almost
800.
Yeah, it's 800 now. I forgot. Jesus.
Oh, it's overwhelming.
It is.
You would have to specify generation. There's no way I could be able to pick between all the ones that are available now. There's no way I'd be able to pick.
I'll kick it off. I'll say that visually, like, design-wise, there's two who are my favorite. There's Umbreon, who I love to death, love Umbreon, and
you're the
Gengar.
Man.
Gengar
nice.
Is so cool. I actually have a little on my keychain here. I got a little Umbreon thing. I don't know if you can see that.
Nice. Umbreon was the first shiny I ever got. I hatched.
Look
it.
At Mr. I've gotten a shiny over here. All right.
I've never caught one in the wild. I've never caught one in the wild, but I have
20 years
a
of playing this darn franchise. Still haven't gotten a shiny.
Yeah.
400 hours in Pokemon Gold. I didn't even know shinies existed. I'm like,
wow.
Yeah.
I love my little Umbreon thing that my girlfriend gave me. But if I had to pick for, like, best fighting Pokemon, like, not just visually, it's probably Salamence. He is awesome.
No, you're right, dude. Salamence is amazing.
Salamence is a G.
Mega Salamence, uber.
I would always use Game Shark and get Begemon and swap him out. That's now my main. That's the starter for me.
That's your game Begon like is your starter.
The only one I'd use.
I have the most nostalgia for Pokemon Gold, so I'm gonna go with my starter in there. Typhlosion was always my favorite, and then and then Blissey. I always really liked Blissey. I don't know. Something about that 600 HP tank.
It's unkillable.
HP.
Yeah, I was my squad.
Definite
love the
shout
Gen
out.
2 representation.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Gold and Silver were Gold, Silver, and Crystal. I guess were obviously the best of the Pokemon games, bar none. I'll throw two. My favorite in Gen 1 was Articuno.
Oh,
I remember growing up. You know, when Pokemon cards were a thing,
I got one
of those shiny holographic Articunos from a random pack my dad got me one day, and I think I've still got that thing. Like, over there somewhere in a wallet or something. So the Articuno has always been one of my favorite. Other than that, Metagross from Ruby and Sapphire.
Such an odd
walking,
one to pick.
Look what you
it's
guys
a walking four-legged computer.
I feel like it's rude to call him gross.
He's a big, gross computer thing with, like, two brains. It's great. Love it.
Metagross is pretty cool.
I don't know nothing about Pokemon. I'm the odd one out. I know nothing about Pokemon.
Oh. Heresy.
So I'm just going to go with Han Solo.
You can't be in Destiny then, dude. You have to leave.
Oh, this is tough. I think I honestly do have such a soft spot in my heart for Pikachu. I feel like that's dumb because he's the mascot. It's just like, yeah, of course everyone loves Pikachu. But, like, honestly, just, like, a character in the show that had personality and is just, like, the comedic break in so many scenes, which is hilarious. And then, like, just a cool Pokemon. But I think truly my favorite... You guys, you know, Typhlosion and Umbreon are in the top five, seriously. But but Greninja is probably my favorite. I think he's awesome.
Yo, Greninja is hype.
Yeah, just so cool. And like that's saying something because I think the other two starters from Gen 6 are trash Pokemon. And they should be deleted. And all three of the new starters, I'm just like, no, these are so weird. And so Greninja will just... maybe I'll use that Ash Greninja in Gen 7 if they give it to us.
Dude, did you play the demo?
I did. I liked it. I have mixed feelings, but I liked it overall, and I think there's a lot of good things coming.
I didn't play it yet. I mean, I haven't. I still have a Nintendo DS. I didn't upgrade to a 3DS or anything like that, or XL or whatever. And I haven't God and given the money yet and given away to buy another console to play a game. I mean, I love Pokemon, but I'm like,
it's a Pokemon machine,
I don't got time,
right?
I don't want to waste
money. It basically is a Pokemon machine.
You're not getting all these other, you know, handheld games just because you have the 3DS. It's like, I'm playing Pokemon on this, and it's staying inside of that console forever.
Never taking that
I actually play a lot of games on my 3DS, so no.
Nerd!
I know, I'm a nerd! Oh, God!
I've got it right over there. I was playing Zelda earlier.
Great choice. Excellent choice. Which one? Which one? Link Between Worlds?
Majora's Mask.
That one's awesome. Yes. All right, cool.
Someone asks a question about Pokemon, and it takes over the entire question.
Yeah, right?
That's a serious question.
Welcome to the Pokemon Destiny podcast.
I need to get my Pokemon shit together for the next one, then, don't I, really?
Seriously. I've got some Sun and Moon coming soon.
It's coming out this Friday.
Yeah.
And it looks good. It looks super good.
All right. Now that we've shilled Pokemon.
Yeah.
Nintendo, okay, that checks in the mail, right?
Here's a question from Retrack. Thoughts on classes having more defined roles in Destiny 2, such as more focused on support, defensive, and offensive?
I've been thinking about this, actually, because I've been playing other shooters. And in the sense... You know, yeah, there's MOBAs and stuff, but like we'd have to look at it more in the shooter perspective, like Battlefield, or maybe Overwatch. Overwatch is really in towards that direction. Yes. I think what has to happen more is that the classes have to affect each other. You have to affect your teammates. And the only ways we see that now are like Bubbles, right? That is a team class because you want everyone else to be using your bubble effectively. You see it a little bit with a Tether, which is a super that helps other people get kills. And in PvE, definitely huge is like that Tether. Mm-hmm. We see that role more. So I think if we want that in Destiny, it's going to have to play with other people on your team, which is tough in a fast-paced, many-death shooter, mm-hmm. right? You die a lot in Destiny compared to Overwatch, where you want to stay alive back, or you know, mm-hmm. all those other games rely on staying alive more often and less and shorter engagements. So I don't know. I think it'd be cool, but we have to think about what that means and if we want something to be a little more team oriented or a little more kill potential oriented. Mm-hmm.
And that's the big variance there between a game like Overwatch and Destiny. Destiny is a game you can play solo. It's a game that has a solo mode, so classes need to be able to stand on their own as well as they can with a full team of people. Mm-hmm. And I could definitely see, you know, more of a MOBA style class-centric gameplay coming into effect in Destiny 2. But I don't think it'll ever be to the point where you have a defined role like this character is a tank and nothing but a tank. This character is support and nothing but support, because all these classes have to be viable for solo PvE play.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we'd ever get too deep into that, mm-hmm. but I could definitely see some more support abilities. Certainly, like
having them as abilities.
Song of Flame.
Yeah.
Nobody uses it. Yeah. RIP. Yeah. Rest in peace.
Very true.
But yeah.
I mean, I'm all for you know, having different specific roles. Like as you said, Bones, you know, the Titan bubble is one of the very specific classes out of the nine that is, you know, that's what it's used for. It's used for support. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you use that for protection. You go into a raid, you're like, we need a bubble. You know what I mean? Especially, like, blind or something. You go into, like, very sweaty trials match. You know, having a bubble is always good. You know, if for a number of things, you know, maybe trying to get a cap point. You know, just mm-hmm. it has plenty of factors. And then, you know, you like you said with your bow. Nobody uses a bow to shut down supers. I mean, like, obviously people do, but you use it more. People use it more aggressively than anything. But I think having defined classes, you know, one for support, you know, one for like a DPS, a tank, you know, one, you know, to maybe a, like a stealth class or something like that. Mm-hmm. We kind of do with the hunter, mm-hmm. but you know, it more defined would be cool, but then again, you know, we're talking about it's a Bungie game. It's a first-person shooter that is supposed to be the intended way to play. Is everybody has the yep. same? Everybody's on the same level. You know what I mean? Everybody can do the exact same thing with minor changes in each class. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then if you think about it, you know, apart from, you know, some stats, you know, the melees, they all do relatively around the same amount of damage. The grenades, same thing, relatively around the same amount of damage. So, like, everybody's on an equal playing field, regardless of what class you play on. You know, like I said, but going back to each of those little bit of outlining factors that do change, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I talk a lot with my hands. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
That's why we're live, baby.
That's why we're live.
So what use is this video if you're not moving around, all right?
Gotta be animated.
Yeah, man. Otherwise, we'd all have pictures of Captain Falcon. Ain't it? You know,
good
because we could get away with it.
Yeah,
wouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah, I'd rather look at Captain Falcon than some of these people. Let me just
Same.
Say. Hey. I meant myself. God, I didn't mean you, Fallout. You're beautiful. Please take me to the lighthouse.
Please don't lie to me. We got time for another question, right?
Yep. Yeah, of course.
I've got one from Lothar422.
Hit it.
First off, he starts by saying he's really enjoying the new podcast. Thanks so much for that.
Thank you very much.
But his
Thank
question
you.
Is, how would you guys feel if you could turn off auto-aim or aim assist for PvP in Destiny?
Oh, man.
Why would
this
I do that?
Right.
Why would you do that?
Here's the problem.
That's my immediate response.
Here's the problem I have with aim assist in Destiny. It's like, they have lots and lots of aim assist in the game, and then they, to try and counter the fact that there's lots and lots of aim assist, they add projectile randomization. You know, it's like a counter to counter something. It's like, well, just either reduce aim assist or, you know, like have... it just never... The amount of it doesn't really make much sense. I mean, there are, mm-hmm. of course, the game is controller-based, and you have to have a degree of aim assist. It's just the general consensus is that Destiny has more aim assist than any other shooter out there at the moment. I'd have to agree with that, you know, having played plenty.
It also feels the best.
Yeah, I don't know.
It does. I mean, I can't really argue that the gunplay in Destiny feels immaculate to me. I still regularly go and play Call of Duty, and it's great in that, but nothing feels like Destiny.
I think
there's no other game
out
there.
Gunplay was better in year one for me, personally. I found it a lot
more
crispier.
We have less aim assist in either it hasn't changed or it's been changed on guns that have less aim assist.
No, we didn't have as much like randomization, like Bloom, for example, and as much like, you know.
Yeah, that wasn't a thing.
That wasn't mm-hmm. a thing until, was it this year? Early this year when they introduced
Taken
that?
King.
Taken
it was,
King.
It was when the Taken King
Yeah,
came
yeah.
out,
that one I think that that's the issue for me. Like, I would prefer to go back to those eras. That's when the gunplay was like my favorite gunplay of everything, whereas after those changes, it still is my favorite, but like, I'm yearning back for those times. So I think that aim assist, if it has to be a thing, I'm fine with that, but don't try and make it more balanced by adding this weird randomization to stuff, because the randomization hasn't given us anything positive. It's just made things more aggravating. You know, the fact that you can take a gunfight and it's who randomizes the most you know, will lose the gunfight. That has become a lot more of a thing, even within effective ranges. You know, that's the argument with Bloom of, oh, well, pace your shots with a hand cannon, or don't try and use it outside of its effective range. And it's like, well, Bloom happens within the effective range. It happens with shotguns. It happens with all kinds of stuff. And that has just brought a really negative change. And I'd like to see it reversed. For me personally,
to the back to the heart of the question, if I, how would I feel if I could turn it off? I don't know why I would want to, other than sign on when I sign on to my friends' accounts for filming and mess with their settings.
Yeah, and
what you were saying there, like, I think, you know, being able to turn it off, like, like custom games is like a mode or something, you know, like a fun thing you can do with some buddies, but. You know, actually, in Halo, sorry to go back to Halo, but
how dare you?
To get better at sniping in Halo, what we always did was we would go on the same team in a custom game. We would turn on being able to kill, you know, your teammate, you know, team fire, and then we'd practice trying to get headshots or body shots that way. You know what I mean? So I can see the appeal of turning off aim assist. I just wouldn't turn it off competitively because, like you said, why would I do that? Like, it gives me a you know. But, I mean, I can see the appeal of turning it off to, like, try to get better at something.
I guess sometimes aim assist bugs me when I'm shooting at someone and someone else runs by and it drags my reticle away from a little bit.
That does happen.
Crazy. I can't take it.
And with melee as well, like, for example, if you want to try and, you know, melee someone in close quarters and then all of a sudden it tracks a different play and you end up throwing a smoke at them or, you know, you end up trying to melee the person that just got revived and you end up, you know, whiffing your melee because they've got, a res shield on them, you know, that sometimes it, you know, it does screw you more than it helps you. Screws me more than it helps me.
I feel like 90% of the time, if I didn't have aim assist, I wouldn't hit anything at my skill level, though.
Well, that's the truth of it. Like in a game that revolves around aim assist so heavily, if you turned it off, people would be like, I'm not hitting anything anymore. You know, it's like, that's right.
Go try to snipe guardians in patrol and shoot at people running around, and you will.
I like to practice sniping by shooting the little flying things that are in the plague lands.
That's what I was going to say. If you head into if you want to see what Destiny would be like without aim assist, head into the plague lands. Those little small shanks that like repair things or cutting through steel. Try to snipe.
That's
those.
What I do for fun.
That's what Destiny would be like without aim assist.
Good question though. I like that question. Yeah. That's a good one.
One final question before we sign off, directly from the Twitch chat.
Okay.
Story, can you please just say aluminum one more time?
In my own tongue or
in your native tongue?
Yes.
Okay, you ready? Aluminium.
Ooh.
Oh my god.
Say vitamin. Say vitamin again.
You gave me chills, man. You gave me chills.
Vitamin.
That was incredible.
Oh, I love
vitamin.
It.
Vitamin. I love it.
That one is less like great soundbite.
Tomato. Tomato.
Love it.
Thank you.
Next week, when the podcast goes live, there's going to be no discussion. It's just going to be an hour and a half of story. Reading words out of the dictionary.
Anal.
In a weird way.
I'll watch.
Methane.
Can we just trade back and forth? I'm going to need Black Link every now and then, giving us like the American pronunciations.
I got you.
All right,
good. I got you, fam.
Good. Well, a massive thanks for Mr. Neff for coming on to the stream today.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you coming along.
Apologize for not briefing you as much as I should have done. It's been a horrible week, but and it would be nice to like get involved. Like me and Fallout keep saying this every week. PvP streams at some point. The next one that we have is gonna goddamn happen. So we'll sort it out amongst ourselves. We won't sniff any dates.
Keep me
moment,
in the conversation, boys, because I'm on that PS4 now. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah. You know exactly.
Welcome,
General Crucible.
Hey, Megan, you're an Xbox player.
I am.
You have an Xbox.
I am an Xbox player.
We can link up, man. Because.
There you go.
I don't have a PS4, and I'm not about to buy a second PS4 for my wife because she plays excessively too. So
I gotcha.
Ain't gonna do it. So Xbox is where we're at, man.
All right,
Xbox
good.
Is where we're at.
Excellent.
Well, before we sign off, Mr. Neff, why don't you tell everybody where we can find you?
Yeah.
You can find me. I do some YouTube stuff. You can find me over there at just type in my gamer tag, Lord Neff, or Mike Neff 2006. Or you can find me on Twitter at Anthony_Neff.
Right.
But I really appreciate you guys having me on here. Thank you.
Yeah.
No problem.
Absolutely.
It will happen again.
Welcome to PD, man.
For sure. Yeah, man. So, Fallout, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me at youtube.com/falloutplays, twitch.tv/falloutplays, and Twitter at @fallout_plays. There you go.
Oh, yeah. We've had
years
of practice.
Experience. every chilling time it comes, every stuff. Time it comes to me, I freak out and don't remember any of my links.
He's
so
like,
don't feel
oh,
bad now.
Who am I?
Oh Jesus!
You can find me at Dado's Destiny. No, it's the wrong
oh,
guy.
Oh shit!
Don't know. Wait, you still follow him, but don't follow. No,
no, don't.
I guess maybe
Bones.
Yeah, go on, Bones.
Bones, where can we find you?
You can find me at Bones_CR or check out CrucibleRadio.com for the podcast all about the PvP. It's a good time, and that's it. That's the only places you should ever look for me. Never look for me anywhere else.
Don't look anywhere else. Don't do it.
Not
even
Black
here.
Link, where can they find you?
Yo, what's up? You can find me pretty much everywhere on the internet at The Black Link. Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube, all at The Black Link. And, of course, right here on the Planet Destiny Twitch page where I do streams every week.
Beautiful.
Who's next?
Mega.
Story?
It's Mega.
Oh, it's me. He's, oh, Mega. Jesus, I forgot it all.
I thought we were leaving it for last. He's got the Jason Bourne song.
You can find me on YouTube at Husky Raid, where you'll find dumb dance videos. You can find me on Twitter at Husky Raid Guys. You can also find me most recently on the Community Spotlight on Bungie.net for Husky Raid. Whoop.
Hey-o.
And if you want to hear me talk about non-Destiny stuff every now and then, you can listen to Husky Radio on iTunes. Story, why don't you tell me where we can find you, you beautiful bastard?
You can find me in all the same places. All you got to do is type that in. It's Story Machine with a 4 for... swap the A in Machine for a 4. There you go. If you can't be asked to deal with all of that confusing nincompoop stuff, head on over to the Planet Destiny YouTube, and in the right-hand column, there is a list of all of us right there and then. So you can subscribe to everybody by heading over to the Planet Destiny YouTube and clicking on subscribe and everything there. That would be immensely fantastic, and we'd all appreciate it.
Yes.
And my Twitter's the same. Everything is all the same. It's that me spelled funny.
Stupid spelling. Yeah.
Yes, because it was already
It's
taken.
Actually the proper British spelling of it. Story Machine. Fun
yeah,
tech.
Exactly. It's the same.
Much like aluminium.
Yes, yes indeed.
Yeah, there we go. So that's the end of today's edition.
I just saw this article on GameSpot called The Only 30 Pokemon That Matter. And they have Mewtwo in their number one spot, so I'm going to go write an angry comment on this website.
Make
Mewtwo.
That happen.
Pay the respect to Umbreon that, yes. that Umbreon
You
deserves.
Take umbrage with the lack right. of Umbreon.
Umbreon, yes. I was just about to crack that, but you beat me to it. Yes. God damn it. Anyway.
With every day, you become more and more British, man.
Yes, I'm absorbing his power.